Amen. Praise the Lord. Give a hand to the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory. Amen. Look at somebody and say, it's all about Him. Amen. We're all glad to be instruments. How many of you really enjoyed that song? That really touched my heart. Amen. His song took me all the way back to 1979 when I had an angelic encounter with angels. And I believe it was God's final call on my life. And at that point, I felt like the Lord was saying, I'm not going to bother you anymore. I'm not going to rustle you anymore. And I'm going to give you the opportunity. You know, I'm going to give you a last call. And I mean, he sent angels, visited and took me probably 3 weeks, amen, to get convinced in myself that God was really trying to deal with me. Yeah, but this song took me back to 1979. If I would not have given it to him, I'd have lost it all. As a matter of fact, it was at that time that God said, I want you to get your family up. It was kind of like Abraham. I want you to get your family up and move your family. I want you to relocate your family with Bishop and Mom Hammond in Phoenix, Arizona at that time for 5 years. And so we sold out everything we had in Denver, businesses, everything that we had, we let go. Amen. And if I wouldn't have heeded that call, I'd have lost it all. Amen. Thank you for that song. It brings us to remembrance. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, celebrating 23 years. Wow, wow, wow. Well, I'll tell you what I did discover is you can't really go to numerology and find a good definition for 23. But I can double 10 and know that it's a time of new beginning, double beginnings. Amen. And it's a brand new season for us. And I just felt when I come into Elkhart this time, and I was sharing with your pastor a little bit, amen, that this is a time when the old has truly passed away and you guys are really on a platform of a new day. Amen. Amen. And if there was ever a time in your life that you give it all to God, everybody say all to God, that you give it all to God, there's no better time than right now. Amen. And I believe that we're nearer, amen, to eternity. We're nearer, amen, to the kingdom of God today than we have ever been, amen, in history. Amen. So it's a time for shaking of the church, waking up of the church, amen, and for the church to come alive. Everybody say come alive. Amen. And begin to dwell in the courts of the Lord. Amen. I'm going to break in on a message this morning that I feel is the word of the Lord. Amen. And I believe this, when we release the word of the Lord, it's not just for that service or just for that moment. It's from that moment on. Say, from that moment on. Amen. So I'm going to activate this word, amen, about face. Everybody say about face. And about face is a military term. And by tonight, we'll try to get into some of those definitions. Amen. But heard the Lord say, about face and prepare for war. Say, prepare for war.
Prepare for war.
Amen. 1 Peter chapter 5 says that the devil goes about like a roaring lion or like a wild man, seeking to devour, seeking to destroy. Amen. Seeking to discourage. Seeking to get you off course. Amen. Seeking to interrupt your schedule. Amen. Seeking to interrupt your relationship with the Father. He goes about with a loud roar, but it's only a roar. I heard one preacher preaching on that, and he said, it's like a old toothless lion. Come on. Look at somebody and say, he can't hurt you. He can't hurt you. The devil's not omniscient. He's not omnipresent. He is a fallen angel. Come on. Say a fallen angel. Is somebody, sometimes people get him too equal to God or another, the God of this world. No, there's one God. There's one God. Then there's fallen angels. Amen. We need to put things in right perspective and realize that you are the head and not the tail. Amen. You are the body of Christ. You're the ecclesia. You're the ones that God has called out and called to himself for such a time as this. Amen. I believe that we gather in the name of the Lord because you're special. Say, I'm special. Amen. You're special. You know, sometimes life doesn't always feel special, but that has nothing to do with the meaning of special. Amen. That God says that He's created you unique. He has set you apart for Himself. Amen. To have a love relationship with you. How many of you enjoy a love relationship with Father? And some people don't even understand that terminology because they've never entered into the courts or entered into that place with God. If you've never got there, I encourage you to hunger and to thirst after righteousness this morning. Amen. Why? Because Father will fill you up. Amen. So I heard this term about face, and it kind of shook me when I first heard it. And I was saying, God, what are you trying to say? Because we've spent the last probably 5 to 8 years, amen, preaching on turnaround and preaching on, God just taking things and totally giving a divine reversal. And there are those suddenlies, amen, when God took you from zero, amen, to your destination instantly, and God give you an absolute turnaround. Amen. But I believe what God is saying is that more than the turnaround, I want you to do an about face, which in a military term, amen, is a 180 degree turn facing the opposite direction, standing at attention to hear the voice of the Lord. I want you to do an about face, and I want you to confront life. Amen. Say confront life. Now, some people want a turnaround, or some want a divine reversal, hoping that it will all go away, but it doesn't always go away. How many of you discovered it doesn't always go away? Amen. But it's time that we do an about face and we begin to confront our pain, confront our shame, confront our infirmities, confront our relationships. Amen. Confront our position with God. Where do we stand with God? Amen. Confront our marriages. Confront the problems and the things that have tried to defeat you, or the things that have tried to keep you on the backside of your desert. God says, I want you to do an about face, and I want you to hit it face on. Come on. Why? Because He says, I'm your deliverer. I'm your healer. Come on now. He paid the price for all of it. As we do an about face, He says, I will turn things for you. Amen. And I will give you new battle plans that will outwit your enemy. Say new battle plans. So when I hear that, I hear the Holy Spirit saying, amen, that I'm going to give you new strategies of the Spirit. In other words, what you couldn't figure out yesterday, you can figure out today. What you couldn't break through yesterday, you can break through today. God, what you couldn't do yesterday, you can do it today. Look at somebody, say, you can do it again. God, you can break out. Come on now, and come into that place. This 23rd anniversary, this 23rd celebration is just the beginning. Come on now. And we're not at a place of wind down. We're winding up. Glory to God. Amen. It's like a skyrocket. You're ready to take off and begin to soar. Amen. Isaiah chapter 40, like the eagle, amen, begin to soar into the high places of God. Amen. So God says, I want to give you battle plans that will outwit your enemy. Look at somebody and say, God's smarter. Come on, He's going to give you plans that will outwit your enemy. Come on now, where it looked like the enemy was overtaking you. God says, no, this is your season. As you do an about face, you will overtake your enemy. Come on now, and you will come out on top. Say, I'm coming out on top. God, we're coming out on top. Glory to God. God has promised us that, amen, that we are the head and not the tail. We're above and not beneath. Amen. We're blessed in our going out, blessed in our coming in. So God said, this is a time of about face. And it's a military command. And God spoke to me. And He said, every time you use this term, I want you to use it in a military concept. Come on. Now, why? Because God means business. Look at somebody and say, you're part of the army of the Lord. You're not a member on a church roll. No, you enlisted in the kingdom of God. Amen. And you accepted Him not as your only as your Savior, but you accepted Him as Father. Come on now. You said, God, I give my life to You and I want You to be Lord of my life. Come on. When you assigned yourself to God, amen, you automatically become in the army of the Lord. Come on, we've preached a lot about audiences in the past, teaching people how to be good and stay out of trouble and pay your tithes and be faithful in church. Come on now. But we haven't taught enough on being the army of the Lord. The Bible doesn't speak about audiences, but it does speak about raising up a great and mighty army. Say, I'm part of the army of the Lord. Amen. So I believe as the army of the Lord, we need to understand military concepts. We need to understand, amen, that power of unity and synergy that is derived when we begin to work together as the army of the Lord. Amen. So as I begin to do some research on these military terms, I felt the Lord was saying, I want you to come to attention this year, amen, and hear the voice of the Father, amen, because he said this is going to be an unprecedented year for supernatural breakthroughs. I'm going to have you say that with me, okay? Unprecedented. Come on, say it again. Unprecedented supernatural breakthrough. Amen. And so it's necessary that we hear the voice of the Father and that we be responders to the word of the Lord. Why? Because it's going to be an unprecedented year of supernatural breakthrough. Amen. I looked up the word unprecedented for you because I thought I understood it, but I didn't really understand it the way that the meaning of that, the true meaning of that word. It means something never known or never done before. Say, never known and never done before. So when God says it's going to be an unprecedented year for supernatural breakthrough, he said it's going to be something you've never seen before, something you've never done before, something you have never heard before. Say, wow. Well, God said, no, this is the time of breakthrough and you're going to experience my supernatural power. And listen, he's saying that, you know, my power is not based on how many hours you spend in prayer, how many years you spent studying the word, how many years you've been, you never missed a service in church. It's not based on all that. Even all of that adds to our maturity. It adds to our wisdom. It adds to our commitment. Amen. It adds to our individuality of who we are. It makes us strong. Amen. But listen, God's gifts are given not on a merit of your work, but on a merit of faith. Come on now. Whoa! I just believe God. Come on now. And because I believe God, all things are possible for me. It's not the great and the little. No, we are all one, like we were singing in the body of Christ. Come on now. And we all begin to reap of that same glory, that same blessing together. Come on, give the Lord a praise offering. So God said it's going to be a year of unprecedented supernatural breakthroughs. He is saying it's not going to be a makeover. So we have a lot of movies on TV now about makeover. Buy something old and make it over. Come on, there's nothing wrong with that. But in the spiritual, God said this is not going to be a makeover season. Isaiah 43, 18 and 19, he said, behold, in other words, listen to me, I will do a brand new thing. Say a brand new thing. I will do a new thing and now it shall spring forward. Can I decree that over the river of life? Come on now, over Elkhart, Indiana, over this congregation, over your pastors and leaders, amen, that this is a year of brand new things. Things you've not seen before, things you've not heard before, things you have not done before. God, just get yourself ready for the glory of God just to begin to pour out upon you. And don't wait till you get to church, amen, to experience the glory. God's going to bless you on your jobs. He's going to bless you in your home. He's going to bless you in your car. He's going to bless you in your relationship. Come on now, wherever you are, get yourself ready and the glory of God is just going to fall upon you. Woo, look at somebody say, it's my time. Come on, it's our time for the glory of God. It's time for a fresh outpouring here in Elkhart, Indiana. I felt it when I drove in this year. Come on, something has shifted. Something has changed. Come on now. And we must arise as the army of the Lord and seize the opportunity that God has given us. So he said, I'm going to do a brand new thing. You know, I was in a worship service one morning. And I try to enter into worship to the best of my ability. He's going to help me preach. Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, God ordained, amen. Hallelujah. Amen. But I was worshiping and I felt like I had raised my hands and clapped my hands and moved my feet and tried to move my swivel. Hallelujah. I felt like I was entering into worship. And when I got up to begin to minister the word, it always kind of messes me up a little bit when I know where I'm going and God wants to go a different direction. I'm not that smart. I need to be focused on what I'm saying. But when God begins to speak to you and he talks to you about something different than what you're talking about. And so I'm talking about one thing and then here's God in the background and he's saying, so did you worship me with all your heart? My first response was to the Father was that, what does that have to do with what I'm saying? How does that relate to what I'm trying to speak about? Come on now. And he said, did you praise me with all your heart? I said, God, I raised my hands, I clapped my hands, I moved my feet, I moved my swivel. I tried to worship you with all my heart. Yes, I did. And he left it alone. Glory to God. Yeah, I began to preach again, and about 5 minutes later, he pops right back in and he said, so you really did worship me with all your heart. Listen, I know inside of me that I can always do more. Look at somebody and say, I can do more.
I
can do more. When God is saying, come on, this is going to be a year of unprecedented supernatural breakthrough, and I want to give you strategies and plans that will outwit your enemy. Come on now. There is a sacrifice that we must bring into the house of the Lord. Come on now. Come on, men. We need to arise in our home. Amen. And shout hallelujah through your house sometime. Glory to God. We need to begin to bring the glory of God down, because wherever you're at, his glory is going to begin to fall on you. Come on. Now, if we will give a sacrifice unto him, amen, he will pour out all of his glory back out upon you. See, I believe this is a year that we're entering into here at the river, amen, is fresh outpourings, fresh visitation, fresh inspiration, amen, present truth revelation, a now impartation of the Holy Spirit that will transform your life. Look at somebody and say, I'm ready. Come on, I am ready. Unprecedented supernatural miracles. Amen. Things that we have not seen before. Things that we have not done before. Behold, I'll do a new thing. And now it's our time. Amen. And so I heard the Lord say this year is not only about turning around. Amen. But it's about doing an about face and beginning to confront real life issues. God, the thing that has given you the hardest problem in your life, you just turn around because you're going to whoop it this year. God, the Bible says that these things become ashes, ashes, ashes under your feet. Amen. Spirits of depression, oppression, spirits of suppression that try to press you down, that try to belittle you, or that try to make you to feel less than what you are in the body of Christ. God says, no, this is your time of arising and conquering, taking back and repossessing. Say conquering, taking back and repossessing. Say that with me again. Conquering, taking back, and repossessing. I want to activate the word replevin here this morning, and I've activated it here before, but every time that we hear that word, come on, you need to understand that God has put an authority in you, amen, to go right into the enemy's camp and to take back what was wrongfully stolen from you. You know, some people feel, well, I lost it. I won't do that again. No, I lost it. I'm taking it back and I'm going to multiply it. Come on now. That's what replevin means. Replevin is a legal term, and we heard that in 2008 from one of our pastors in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. Amen. Heard that word of the Lord, amen, of replevin. When we researched it, it's a legal term empowering one with the authority to take back what was wrongfully taken from them. I heard God say, release that word replevin here this morning. Come on now. Why? Because some things that have been taken from you, God said, it's all coming back. It's all coming back. It's all coming back. Come on now. What the devil tries to rob, steal, and kill, amen, it's all coming back. But you must arise with that replevin. Arise understanding your authority as the kingdom of God. Come on now. That all things are possible to those who believe. Woo, say all things are possible. Come on, he says he'll turn your mourning into dancing. He'll turn your sorrows into joy. Come on now. He'll take off the garments of heaviness and he'll put on the garments of praise. Why? Because the glory of the Lord has shined upon you for such a time as this. Come on, I just feel so strong. This is our time, church. Amen. God says, I want you to conquer. I want you to take back and I want you to repossess what is rightfully yours. I was doing a conference in Memphis, Tennessee. We called it a prophetic fire conference. And in that particular conference, I was preaching on taking aback, preaching about Israel and about how they had to have their crossover time, crossing over Jordan, going into what had been a long-term process, amen, for Israel to transition and a whole new generation to arise up, amen, and they finally crossed over the Red Sea. But what did they have to do in their first acts of war as they crossed over? First thing they had to do was be circumcised, or they had to be set apart, amen, unto God. Come on now. And then they had to drive out the previous tenants. Say, drive out the previous tenants. I just hear the Lord saying to us this morning, yes, this is a year of glory. Yes, it's a year of milk and honey. Yes, it's a year of breakthrough. Come on now. But separate yourself unto me and arise as mighty men and women of war and drive out the previous tenants so that you can possess. Come on now. I'm speaking to you right now, but I just see Jericho walls coming down. Amen. Some of those walls you've built yourself and some the enemy has built. But God said it's time for the walls to come down. Come on now. That you could walk in the freedom, walk in the power, walk in the glory, walk in the anointing, walk in the blessing of your heavenly Father. Say, it's my time. It's our time, church. Come on now. So God said, it's time to conquer. It's time to possess. It is time to take back. So I begin to preach on driving out the previous tenants and about possessing, about taking back. And while I was preaching, Apostle Prophet Dean Mitchum, our chief musician at Christian International, Florida, come up to the piano and he began to birth a song. And the song was simply, we're taking it back. We're taking it back. We're taking it back in the name of the Lord. All that the devil has stolen, all that the devil has taken, we're taking it back in the name of the Lord. And he just began to birth that song, which you can now get on CD, but that was birthed out of a prophetic message and a prophetic time of the Holy Spirit. But listen what happened. Wives begin to come up to the platform, to the microphone, and they said, I'm taking back my marriage. I'm taking back my mind. I'm taking back my identity. Come on now. I'm taking back my gifting and my anointing. Husbands came to the platform and they said, I'm taking back my job. I'm taking back my finance. I'm taking back my ability. I'm taking back my manhood. I'm taking back my family. Young people came up and said, I'm taking back my mind. I'm taking back my identity. I'm taking back my heritage. Come on now. Look, church, it's time to say, I'm taking it back. Come on, when God begins to speak about a breakthrough, this 23rd anniversary is like a launching pad. Come on now, it is launching us into our destiny. It is launching us into our future. If you could only see from the outside looking in and see the magnitude of growth, see the magnitude of maturity, see the magnitude of excellence, see the magnitude, come on now, of the things that God has done in you in this last 23 years, it would astound you. Come on. I just heard the Lord say to tell you that I'm going to bless your homes. I'm going to bless your jobs. Come on now. I'm going to bless your marriages. I'm going to bless your children. And what the devil's tried to shatter and scatter, this will be a time of gathering and it's all coming back, says the Lord. Woo! Come on, there's a time when you have to arise and you say, no more of the devil's stuff. Come on now. And I'm calling in the glory and the manifest power of Jehovah God. Say, it's my time. Amen. So it's about conquering. It's about repossessing. And it's about taking back. Look at somebody and say, God is so good. Let's go over to 1 Kings chapter 8, 2 Kings chapter 18, page 342. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I'm going to read a scripture here, but just before I read, let me give you just a brief panoramic historic breakdown, just a little bit. If you read from the beginning of chapter 1 in 2 Kings and come up to chapter 18, you're going to read about the kings of Israel. You're going to read about their disobedience. You're going to read about the ugly side of the kings. The Bible says that refused to hear the word of the Lord, refused to obey the commands of God, and they rebelled against the word of the Lord. And what they done was not pleasing in the eyes of the Lord. Now, I think there was two kings, amen, that done some things that was pleasing, but then they never took the high places. Say, they never finished the race. They never took the high places. Come on now. And so we see Israel in a place of rebellion, and the Bible says that they were so angry against God and so rebellious against God that they would create idols to worship idols rather than obey God or rather than hear His word or receive His commandments. Until a point where it literally stirs. You can see it's stirring the heart of the Father, and it was stirring God's anger. I've raised three beautiful daughters, and I can tell you that as beautiful as they are and as sweet as they are, and now, well, one of them's a grandma and the others won't be too long, but, you know, they're all full-grown children now. But there were times as daddy when we was raising our daughters that, oh, God, I don't know what else to do. Come on, I pulled every string I know to pull. I've used every belt I know to use, and I've grounded every way I know to ground, and I've taken away everything that I know that I can take away, and ooh, now I can't do any of that anymore, God. What do you do now, God? Has anybody ever been there? This is kind of how God was with Israel. Israel was so rebellious, and God done so much to try to turn Israel, come on now, to a point where finally daddy lets go a little bit, and he says, I'm going to allow some things, not to destroy you, but I'm going to allow some things, hoping that it will get your attention, come on now, and at least you will cry out to me, and you'll turn from your hardness and your anger and your bitterness, come on, and you'll turn your heart back to God. Come on. So this was the condition of Israel, and the kings followed suit. Come on now. And they did nothing to lead Israel in the ways of the Lord. The Bible says that Judah began to, you might say, see Israel, and Judah began to follow after some of the ways of Israel. And they began to release rebellion and resistance against the commands of God. And even Judah was beginning to turn into a false state. But here's the difference. God says, I'm going to allow the Assyrian king, that Rabshakeh, I'm going to allow that king to come against Israel to try to turn them. But I'm not releasing that same command towards Judah. Look at somebody and say, you are Judah. Say, I'm of the tribe of Judah. Come on, the devil has not been given a right to get on your territory, just like with Israel here. Amen. God was allowing the Assyrian king to come against Israel, and momentum was building up. But he did not have the same authority given against Judah. Are y'all with me? All right, that was a real quick rundown of 17 chapters. Now we're entering into chapter 18. It says, now it came to pass. That means a change, a new season, a new time. The past is finished. A new day is here. It came to pass in the third year of Hoshea, the son of Elah, king of Israel,
that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. He was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Abby, the daughter of Zechariah. Young king. Verse 3. And he did what was right. Hallelujah! Finally, somebody is going to get it. All right? And it's falling into the lap of Hezekiah. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. Capital L-O-R-D. Lord Sabaoth. Say, he did what was right. According to all that his father David had done. Verse 4. He removed the high places where others never took the high places. Hezekiah went not only in the valleys and in the land and the cities, but he took the high places. He removed the high places and he broke the sacred pillars and he cut down the wooden images and he broke in pieces the bronze serpent that Moses had made. For until those days, the children of Israel burned incense to it and called it Neheshtan. They would make a god out of anything rather than turn to God. Verse 5. He trusted in the Lord Sabaoth, God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor who were before him. Verse 6. For he held fast to the Lord Sabaoth. He did not depart from following him. But he kept his commandments which the Lord had commanded Moses. The Lord was with him. He prospered wherever he went. And he rebelled against the king of Assyria and did not serve another king or kingdom. He subdued the Philistines as far as Gaza and his territory from watchtower to fortified city.
Let me ask you a question. How many of you would like to have a resume like that? How many of you would like to have your resume in the courts, in the corners of heaven, saying that there was not another John like John? Come on. There was nobody greater than Elder Jim, before you or after you. Matter of fact, I'm so happy with you that I'm going to bless everything that you do. Whatever your hands touch, wherever your feet take you, is all going to be blessed. Because of your obedience to the word of the Lord, come on now, and doing what was right in the kingdom of God. How many of you know that's a good resume? Come on, sometimes you need to know your resume. What has God done for you? What has He performed for you? Come on now. How did He save you? That song this morning took me back to that amazing grace. Come on now. That moment in time, amen, when God redeemed me and He turned my life around. Come on now. I can look over the last 45 years and I can see the battles that have been fought and the victories that have been won. Come on now. I can see the hard places that we went through. Amen. But the hand of God reached down and it pulled you out of it. Come on now. And here we are standing on the mountain of the Lord. He is your Redeemer. He is your Savior. Come on now. And this is what Hezekiah is being commended for by God Himself. The Lord Sabaoth, come on, was so pleased with Hezekiah.
Well, verse 9. Now it came to pass. Again, change in time, a little change in history, and a change in conditions. Now it came to pass in the fourth year of King Hezekiah, which was the seventh year of Hoshea, the son of Elah, king of Israel, that Shalmaneser, or the king of Assyria, came up against Samaria, and he besieged it. Now remember, I was sharing with you the history of Israel and their rebellion. Come on now. And that God says, I'm going to take my hand off, and not that conflict is going to come against you, but I hope it's going to turn you. It says that this Assyrian king came up against Samaria and he besieged it. Let me just You can do more teaching on besiegement, but besiegement is quite interesting because it's an attack of the enemy, you might say, or the opposer that tries to surround you from the outside and will try to intimidate you, will try to put fear in you. Well, it's a strategy of control. It's a strategy of manipulation. Come on now. And so we see the Assyrian king moving in against Samaria or moving in against Israel. Come on now. And this spirit of control, this spirit of false identity, this spirit, come on now, that tries to put a restriction and put fear into Israel. And the Bible says that this besiegement lasted for like 3 years. Say 3 years. See, the problem with Israel is that rather than turn, they receive besiegement as some type of correction, but after 3 years it become normal. What are you saying, Apostle? I'm trying to tell you that the enemy will try to release a spirit of besiegement against you, and if you are not careful, you will think the things that are coming against you are normal, and that's just the way life is. Look at somebody, say, not. No, that's not normal, and that's not the way that it is, but that's the way the enemy would like for you to think that it is. Come on. And this besiegement lasts for 3 years. The Bible said after 3 years, then they moved into the city and they took it. Say they took it. That didn't mean that the gates opened up, they ran in, and now they've totally taken Israel. No, it means now they have shifted from a besiegement, 3 years of intimidation, 3 years of control, and they've learned to live under the control and with the intimidation where they thought it was normal enough that now it's moved to the inside of the city. Come on. The Bible says for another 3 years, they was taking the city like an implosion from the inside out. I'm concerned about our nation. I'm concerned about America. I'm concerned about besiegement trying to come from the nations of the world. Come on now. I believe that we should welcome all tribes, all nations. Come on now. It all needs to be legal. It all needs to be right. Come on now. For every nation, there needs to be some boundaries. But I'm afraid there's a besiegement that's been happening in America. Come on now. And now the besiegement has almost felt normal. Amen. Where people just accept it would probably shock you to know how much territory in America is owned by other nations. Everybody say besiegement. Amen. Abuse in your life. That's a spirit of besiegement. Come on now. It can all come to a place where it almost feels normal, like you deserve it. Look at somebody and say, no, you don't. Come on, we have to rise up against that besiegement. We have to rise up against that spirit that tries to get to the inside. Come on now, to try to break you down, to try to destroy you. The Bible says the devil comes to rob, to steal, and to kill. I'm trying to show you where Israel was at and what was happening. In the sixth year, verse 10, the sixth year of Hezekiah, that is the ninth year of Hoshea, king of Israel, Samaria was totally taken. Say it was taken. Verse 11, then the king of Assyria carried Israel away captive to Assyria, and he put them in Halah by the Habar, the river of Goshen, and in the cities of the Medes. Verse 12, because they did not obey the voice of the Lord their God. Let me ask you, how important is it for us to not only hear the voice, but for us to obey? Obedience is better than sacrifice, to hearken than the fat of rest. How important is it for us to not just be hearers of the word, but to be doers of the word? The Bible says it would be better for you if not to heard at all than to hear and not do. God, Israel was in a place of rebellion and they heard the word of the Lord over and over, but they continued to rebel against the word of the Lord and the commandments of God, and now they're totally taken because they did not obey the voice of the Lord their God. But they transgressed his covenant and all that Moses, a servant of the Lord, had commanded, and they would neither hear it nor do it. Is everybody with me? Verse 13. And in the 14th year, okay, now we're, let me just say, You can almost mark this scripture in your Bible because now you're seeing another shift between Israel and between Judah. And because in the besiegement and all that is happening. Verse 14. Then Hezekiah, king of Judah, sent to the king of Assyria. Oh, no, verse 13, I'm sorry, I jumped ahead. Verse 13. And in the 14th year of King Hezekiah, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came up against the fortified cities of Judah. Now remember, with Israel, there was a 3-point takeover. It was besiegement, it was taking, and then they took it. But in verse 13, it says that Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came up against all the fortified cities of Judah and just took them. What are you saying, Apostle? I'm saying if you give the devil an inch, he'll try to take a mile. And God is saying that, you know, I'm going to allow you to come against Israel and I'm going to allow you to besiege and I'm going to allow you to carry Israel away. Come on now. Isaiah 61 and 7, we see the grace and the mercy of God turn back to Israel. Come on now. And finally, God says, I'll give you double now for all the trouble and all that you've had to come to, and I will restore my chosen. Yeah. Now, I'm a good daddy. I'll restore my daughters. Come on now. But there's time when I have to take my hand off just enough, amen, to let them see where they're at, learn a lesson or two. Come on now. And then turn their heart back to God.
Yeah.
How many of you have been there? Yeah. Come on, come on, come on. We've all been there. You know, it's at some time or some point or another. But I want you to see that there was no besiegement with Judah. There was no just taking of Judah. The Bible says they just moved in on Judah and they took it. Say they took it. The king of Assyria had authorization with Israel, but he did not have authorization with Judah. Verse 14. Then Hezekiah, king of Judah, sent to the king of Assyria at Lachish, and this is what he said. I have done wrong. Turn away from me. Whatever you impose on me, I will pay it. And the king of Assyria says, Hezekiah, king of Judah, 300 talents of silver, 30 talents of gold. So Hezekiah gave him all the silver that was found in the house of the Lord and in the treasures of the king's house. And at that time, Hezekiah, verse 16, even stripped the gold from the doorpost of the temple which Hezekiah, king of Judah, had overlaid, and he gave it to the king of Assyria. So what I want you to see is that this Assyrian king had a right to come against Israel, but now he overstepped his boundaries, and now he's coming against Judah. And now we hear the king of Judah, Hezekiah, saying, what have I done wrong? Look at somebody and say, nothing. I'm just trying to tell you, the enemy will try to come and get you and make you to feel you have blown it, you have missed it, and I deserve besiegement, I deserve the opposition, I deserve the punishment. No, you don't. You say, how do you know? Because it was all paid for at Calvary. Come on now. Jesus shed his blood that you would be cleansed, you would be delivered, you will be set free, and your past is separated from you as far as the heavens are from the seas.
That's right.
Come on. Well, we see this Assyrian king moving against Judah. Come on now. And now trying to overtake the city. And now we see Hezekiah say, what have I done wrong? What can we see happening here? Can we just, for a moment, can we just say, what if Hezekiah would have just looked back a couple years at his resume? His resume said that he was pleasing in the eyes of the Lord more than any other king. Come on now. And he was blessed by the Lord wherever he went, his going out and his coming in. He was blessed by God. Say, he was blessed. Say, I am blessed. God, you are blessed this morning, but I'm telling you that the enemy will try to overstep boundaries. Come on now. And it's time to do an about face. Hezekiah needed to do that 180 degree turn, and he needed to look at the king of Assyria, and he needed to remind him, I am who God says that I am. All power, authority is given to me. Come on now. You might have taken Israel, but you're not going to take Judah. Come on now. We're rising up in the name of the Lord. Are y'all with me? What's your resume? What's God done for you? God has called you. I listened to a prophetic word over our brother and sister. Come on now. And God says, how I've called you out, how I've protected you, and how I've kept you. And yes, you've gone through the valley of the shadow of death, but I've kept you, and I brought you to this day, and I have a greater mantle, a greater anointing, a greater favor with you. Come on now. As we hear the voice of the Lord, come on now, we do not succumb to that besieging spirit that tries to besiege you, tries to destroy you. Look at somebody say, break out. So the king of Assyria did not have authority to get on their territory. What are you saying, Apostle? I'm simply telling us here at the river this morning, the devil does not have authority to get on your territory. Come on now. When he gets on your territory, he is off boundaries. Come on now. He has gotten out of place where God said, I'll allow you to come against this and I'll allow you to come against that. Come on now. But it's the heart of the Father trying to bring a change to a nation or to a city or to a community or to a church or to a people. Come on now. God will allow some things, amen, to turn your heart, but he did not give permission to loose to the enemy to destroy you. Just lay your hands on your heart. And Father, I pray for each one here this morning. Lord, and I'm binding right now every spirit of besiegement, that thing that tries to intimidate, that thing that tries to control, that thing that tries to manipulate, that thing that tries to falsely accuse or to try to put fear into the hearts of your people. Lord, I break that spirit of besieging. Lord, any abuses and misuses, oh God, in their community, on their jobs, oh Lord, in their families, or wherever they're at, that spirit, oh God, that tries to belittle them or tries to demean them or tries to rob them of their identity. God, I break the spirit of abuses, Lord, sexual abuse, physical abuse, verbal abuse, God, abuses of rejection. Father God, those things that try to depress and oppress, I break the stronghold of it, oh God. And Lord, let this people identify and begin to arise in their spiritual right, their heritage, and their authority. Lord, it's by the blood of the Lamb of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, shed on Calvary, that has made us free, that has enabled us. Lord, no one will say, what have I done wrong? But Lord, rather they will see the besiegement of the enemy. Yeah. Father, I just release right now a comfort into their hearts. God, that open their eyes that they can see their resume. Let them see the greatness of what you've done for them, Father. And Lord, that you're not finished yet. Say, he's not finished yet. God, you are not finished yet. We come back tonight, we'll do part two of this message. But I'm hearing the Lord say that this is a time of turnaround for the river of life. And the Lord said the enemy's tried to move in your territory. But I just see a spirit of God just covering this entire territory. And God said what the enemy's tried to bring down, I'm going to build up. Some will run, but I have a remnant. I have an army that is arising, says the Lord. And God said, I want you to arise to your destiny. I want you to arise to your position. I want you to arise to the cause and the call that I have upon your life. Father, just bless them right now. I'm going to ask you to repeat this prayer after me. Father God, I thank you today that you're always with me. You never leave me. You never forsake me. Even though I've come through a hard place, I know that you're with me. And thank you for your saving grace. You have kept me. Even when I failed, you were still there. You were still present. And Father, you have kept me for such a time as this. And I choose to arise in the name of the Lord as I celebrate this 23rd year. And I go into my 24th year. I decree that we're going to go higher. We're going to make more impact. We're going to take back what the enemy has wrongfully taken. And you're giving me seed to sow. Thank you, Father, for the resume that you've given me.
Help me to identify and to discern the onslaughts of the enemy, that I can stand and fight the good fight of faith. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, amen. 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 Give the Lord a praise offering, will you? Amen. Stand. Is that right? Praise the Lord. Amen.